Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
A new cookbook is out just in time for Rosh Hashanah. It's titled Modern Jewish Comfort Food, 100 Fresh Recipes for Classic Dishes from Kugel to Kreplach by Shannon Sarna. The cookbook includes recipes for dishes that reflect both new and old traditions across the Jewish diaspora, including kosher ramen-style soup, stuffed Syrian onions with pomegranate sauce, corned beef and cabbage kreplach, and smoked salmon latkes eggs benedict. Man. A Forbes article calls the cookbook a beautiful collection of recipes and variations inspired by Jewish history, as well as Shannon Sarna's own history as the product of an Italian mother with a talent for baking, a Jewish father, a food chemist grandfather. Author Shannon Sarna is the editor of the popular food blog The Nosher and is known for her traditional challah recipes. Shannon, welcome to All of It.
Thank you so much. I'm very, very excited.
Listeners, if you want to join this conversation, we'd like to hear from you. What are some of your favorite comfort foods? Do you have any traditions around food with your family, especially around the holidays? Share your favorite dishes. Give us a call. 212-433-9692. 212-433-WNYC. Or you can let us know via social media at All of It WNYC. Why did you want to focus on comfort food?
I think that people right now are coming out of course, their houses. But for the first time, I was sort of seeing as a food editor in 2020 and in 2021, I started hearing less like gluten-free this and keto that. And people were really spending more time in their kitchens and they were reconnecting with like the act of cooking and especially baking. Of course, we went through the sourdough phase and the banana bread phase. But I saw especially that a lot of Jews and non-Jews were making challah and spending the time to make that dish and through that process, connecting more with foods of their families. And in many cases, doing it on Zoom and doing it over FaceTime and learning from one another. So this felt like a very natural outgrowth, both as a second cookbook, a follow-up to my first Modern Jewish Baker, but also what people were connecting to in this moment. And that was, you know, dishes that connected them to their stories and their history and that comforted us in difficult times.
The book is dedicated to Bubby Phoebe. Could you Yes. describe her for us and why the book is dedicated to her?
Well, Bubby Phoebe is my grandmother. She will be 98 in a few weeks. As we say, poo, 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 please God. She's amazing. she's sort of a larger than life, very stereotypical New York Jewish grandmother. She's from Yonkers. I grew up going to her house every holiday, and it was always the same meal. Chicken soup, gefilte fish out of a jar, ugh. chopped liver, kugel, and brisket. But as a little kid, I didn't always get her food, especially like with an Italian mom who was making eggplant parm and tortellini Alfredo. So like the brisket and the kugel wasn't really doing it for me, but she loved us and loves us so completely. And her love and passing down these traditions has been so instrumental in my own life, both personally and professionally. And I think that, you know, that's what really these comfort foods are about, is about family and the sacredness of these traditions and food as an act of love. And that is what one of the many gifts that my grandmother has given to me and to my family. So that's why I dedicated the book to her.
Phoebe sounds awesome.
You would love her. She's a riot. And she'll, hello, cookie face. That's just how she talks.
Cookie face. Perfect. Perfect. Chicken soup is the name of the first chapter, the ultimate comfort food. But as you note, there are different profiles of, say, Ashkenazi Jewish soup, and you have Eastern European versions of chicken soup. Just for so people understand, what's the difference, let's say, between the Ashkenazi chicken soup and Eastern European chicken soup?
So there's different, you know, Jews come from all over the world. You know, I sort of like joke that like we were kicked out of one place, so we went to another and we sort of adapted to the new lands where we lived and picked up flavors and tastes in those places. So there are different chicken soup traditions from Ashkenazi or Eastern European traditions, and also from Sephardi traditions, mm-hmm. which are Jews who were exiled from Spain and, you know, lived through the Turkish Ottoman Empire and all throughout the Middle East as well. So there is a Greek inspired soup that is very, very traditional, especially this time of year. And there's also a Yemenite inspired mm-hmm. soup using a blend of spices called hawaij, which I was first experienced in Israel, and it's an incredibly warm blend of spices and so fragrant and also really beautiful color with the turmeric. So you see sort of like variations in different regions, but with this base of this very, you know, warming soup made with bones and chicken and veggies.
My guest is Shannon Sarna. The name of the book is Modern Jewish Comfort Food, 100 Fresh Recipes for Classic Dishes from Kugel to Kreplach. Let's talk to Daniel on line two, calling in from Westchester. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, it's great to be on the show.
What are you cooking?
So I am cooking a spiced honey cake that I've made on Rosh Hashanah now for the last 4 or 5 years. I started my own household with my husband, and over the last 5 years have really enjoyed creating our own Jewish food traditions inspired by traditional recipes and traditional family recipes, of course, but really making them our own in our home together. And that's been a really wonderful, wonderful thing.
That is so lovely, Daniel. Thank you so much for calling in, and hope you have a great holiday. Let's talk to Bill on line three, calling in from Crown Heights. Hi, Bill. Thanks for calling all of it.
Hi. Thanks for having me. So I am single, and I was alone during the lockdown with nobody else. And I am Jewish. We have got a bunch of, you know, family traditions and recipes, but I don't cook for myself. What I thought was interesting is the worst part of the lockdown that first year, all I ate was peanut butter and jelly 5 days a week, at least for lunch. That's it. I'm in my 50s now. So it was like I was regressing to what was in my lunchbox in first grade, but it helped. It took a while to figure out why I wanted it.
But it certainly,
next to not being able to get a hug, probably the next best thing.
You know what? If a hug was a sandwich, it would be PB&J. I think Bill is onto something there. Listeners, we want to hear from you. What are some of your comfort foods? Do you have any traditions or foods within your family, especially around the holidays? We'd love for you to share your favorite dishes and your stories. Give us a call. 212-433-9692, 212-433-WNYC, or you can let us know on Twitter or Instagram at @allofitWNYC. My guest is Shannon Sarna. The name of the book is Modern Jewish Comfort Food, 100 Recipes for Classic Dishes from Kugel to Kreplach. All right. There is in this book, kosher ramen style soup. Now, ramen, not a dish with Jewish origins. What was the inspiration behind kosher ramen style soup?
It's really from my children. I have three kids, and my oldest two, who are 10 and 6, they love ramen. And I mean, who doesn't? It's a warming broth with lots of noodles that you slurp up, right? It's so delicious. And it is typically made with a pork base. So I wanted to create this recipe for my family using kosher ingredients, but relying on, you know, some of the traditional ways of making a ramen soup. And I think it's the kind of recipe that has resonated with Jews who do keep kosher, who want to be able to enjoy cuisines from different types, different regions. It's inspired ramen.
I want to ask you about eggs, because so many times ramen have the soft boiled eggs. You include tips for how to make a good soft boiled egg. Fill us in.
I will be so honest and say that I can make an amazing loaf of bread. Sometimes rice and hard-boiled eggs are not my friends, but there is a couple of great tips. Number one is, like, you want to use older eggs, actually, like the eggs that have been sitting in your fridge, not the super fresh ones from the farmer's market, and they will actually yield an easier hard-boiled egg. And you want to, after they've cooked, you immediately want to put them into an ice water bath, because that will help cool them down, and then the peel will be able to separate easier from the shell. And I typically kind of like rinse them off a little bit as I'm peeling, and that helps as well. But it can be tricky.
Let's take another call. Line two, talking to Sue from Maplewood. Hi, Sue. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. So excited to be here. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm just wondering, I'm tasked with making all the Rosh Hashanah food this year for one reason or another. And I wanted to make simis. And my idea of simis is very traditional. And I wondered if the author has any specific tricks or anything exciting to make it more exciting.
Oh, I have an amazing recipe that's not mine. It's my friend and fellow food writer. Her name is Gloria Coburn. You can Google her. And she has an amazing simis recipe that uses flanken, which is like the long way to cut short ribs. And she layers sweet potato, carrot, prunes, and flanken, the meat, all together. And I find that it's not heavily seasoned, but the fat from the meat with all of the fruit and the vegetables together, it's just an amazing dish. And I never liked simis until I had hers. So I highly recommend that recipe. If you do a quick Google search, Gloria Coburn simis, you'll find it.
Can you spell her name?
Sure. It's Gloria, G-L-O-R-I-A, and then Coburn is K-O-B-R-I-N.
There you go. Good luck. Let's talk to Helen from Forest Hills. Hi, Helen. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hi. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
So you asked about comfort food and my comfort food, and I'm actually cooking it now, so my house smells wonderfully, is my mother's pot roast, and it's just the easiest thing in the world. It's a thin cut of brisket. You flour the meat, and you sear it, and then you add a package of Lipton onion soup, a can of tomato sauce, and two cans of water. And then you just cook it for 3 hours, and the last hour you add potatoes, carrots, and my addition is mushrooms. But it tastes exactly the same every year.
Helen,
and it's just wonderful.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in. What do you think, Shannon, is that sounds like a very straightforward, simple recipe.
Love it.
What do you think in your book, what's the most straightforward and simple recipe?
I would say the chicken schnitzel is a pretty good one. Pretty straightforward, not a lot of ingredients, and something that anybody can do. I also like the sweet and sour meatballs. I think that's a good straightforward one as well. Yeah.
You have something that you call an Israeli-Italian mashup, shakshuka pizza?
Yes.
What is the origin story of this particular recipe?
I mean, this is just me being a little silly in the kitchen, but I would turn anything into pizza because I love pizza so much. And shakshuka is a tomato and pepper-based sauce. So to me, it was always an obvious fit together. And you can also throw it together in a really easy way, which is with store-bought pizza dough, and you can buy store-bought shakshuka sauce now. So it can also be kind of like a quick and fun, easy dinner to throw together when you don't have a lot of time.
So what does the shakshuka sauce do to a pizza that gives it some extra depth as opposed to regular tomato sauce?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of tomato sauce, Italian-style tomato sauces, you know, are seasoned with oregano or basil, and it's a lot subtler. It doesn't have a lot of spice. A shakshuka sauce will have paprika and cumin and sometimes caraway, roasted pepper, you know, a mixture of spices. So it can be a little bit on the spicy side also, mm-hmm. and much, much more spiced. But of course, you can always make shakshuka according, you know, to how much spice you like.
Let's take some more calls. Elaine is calling in from the Upper East Side. Hi, Elaine. Thanks for calling All of It.
Hello. Hi to you. Well, the snack or the food is a forbidden food. It is called chicken grivenas. You take the skin. Grivena? You take the skin of the chicken and you cut it in little pieces and you fry it in its own juices and fat. And when it's nice and crisp, as my grandmother did, she would just put it, take it as a slotted spoon and put it on a piece of brown paper, and we'd have to wait a few minutes until it cooled. And we absolutely loved it. And, of course, it was probably the worst food you could ever eat, but it was delicious. And I'm sure there are other people who remember their grandmothers doing the same thing.
Elaine, thank you for calling in. Judy is calling in from the Bronx. Hi, Judy.
Hi. Hi. I come from an Ashkenazic family in Europe, but I am very strongly influenced by Sephardic cooking, and comfort food for me over the Rosh Hashanah holiday is baking a Sephardi pumpkin bread, cooking up butternut squash into a wonderful round yeast challah. And the other is a cassolita recipe that was developed by Joan Nathan and Paula Walford, which is a winter squash recipe with caramelized onions that resembles a tzimis of a tzimis recipe that is traditionally, you know, carrots and honey and cinnamon. Mm-hmm. So I am strongly loving the influence of Sephardi cooking and winter squashes.
Judy, thank you so much. I'm getting hungry listening to all of our callers, Shannon. My guest is Shannon Sarno. The name of the book is Modern Jewish Comfort Food. You have a recipe, and I'm not sure how to pronounce it, North African fish patties?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jaime, yeah.
Tell us a hard one. Yeah, tell us a little bit more about the origins of this dish.
Sure. It's a traditional North African preparation of fish. And it's usually fish fillets that are cooked in a very aromatic and spiced tomato-based sauce. And something that I had noticed through my work as editor of the Nosher was how many Israelis, sort of like next generation Israelis, were taking that dish and sort of turning it more into a meatball or a patty or what's called kitzot in Hebrew. And I loved that idea of both something traditional and a little bit modernized for the next generation. And it's a delicious dish. I think it's very beautiful. And I just love that duality.
You have coconut macaroons in here.
Yes.
They're controversial. People love them or hate them. Where do you come down? I think you've made it. Since you put the recipe in here, I'm assuming that you are pro coconut macaroon.
Well, I think here's the thing, right? I think coconut macaroons get a bad rap because around Passover, they're so widely available in those canisters, right? Okay, not the best representation of a macaroon. So I'm just saying, make your own and then see what you think. But I know that not everyone loves coconut, but I do, and I think they're delicious.
All right, walk us through this recipe. Convince somebody. Try to convince someone to make this.
Well, first of all, it's very, very easy because it's just a couple of ingredients. And also, for anybody who's gluten-free, it's a very gluten-free-friendly recipe. It's shredded coconut. I use shredded almonds, egg whites, a bit of sugar, vanilla, a pinch of salt, and then you mix it together, use a cookie scoop, and you bake it. And that's it. That's the whole recipe. That's easy. Anybody can do that.
How do you feel about chocolate? Is chocolate part of the equation?
I mean, I think it should be, but you know, you do you. And then you take some dark chocolate and you can drizzle it on top or dip the bottoms. Also lovely, maybe you want to do a little caramel drizzle on top. You know, I think a coconut macaroon is sort of a blank palette and you can have a little bit of fun and add mini chocolate chips to it or even sprinkles if you're feeling daring.
What is your comfort food? What's your go-to?
Well, you know, as one of the callers was talking about reverting to the peanut butter and jelly sandwich, right? Like how that was the dish that provided him comfort. I really get that. My dad fed me egg noodles and cottage cheese always for lunch on the weekends. And that is my comfort food. And it's what I feed to my kids. And they love it as comfort food. And a lot of Jewish families also have that tradition. So that's what I revert to when I need that comforting lunch.
The name of the book is Modern Jewish Comfort Food, 100 Recipes for Classic Dishes from Kugel to Kreplach. My guest has been Shannon Sarna. Shannon, thank you so much for joining us. Also, remember, she's editor of The Nosher. Thanks for taking our listeners' calls.
Thank you so much for having me.
And hi to Phoebe.
Absolutely.
Have you seen Little Amal, the 12-foot puppet named, who's been touring the city, raising awareness for Syrian refugees? Alexandra Starr has been covering it for WNYC and Gothamist. She'll join us next. This is All of It.